Back to the journey, ladies and gentlemen. God bless all of you for being here today. We've chosen today, as we go down the journey, today's lesson is proceed with caution. As you can tell, it ends up in Mark, the sixth chapter, where the disciples are confronted with a lot of wind and I'm sure a lot of waves and a lot of doubt and a lot of fear and a lot of circumstances that you and I may not have faced physically, but, you know, we've been there emotionally, we've been there spiritually, and otherwise, and today we just want to go there. But I want to remind you this progression that we're trying to create with this process, if you will, this projection of discipleship. Remember, the key word keeps coming up, discipleship, 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 which means a student or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So continuously keep that in front of you. It started when Jesus called the first disciples. He said, come and see. Just follow me, and we're going to see what happens. And then he ends up at the woman in the well. And remember, he breaks all tradition and has a conversation with her, teaching us that everybody deserves love and acceptance. And then he goes on to preach the Sermon on the Mount, and continuously he would say, you've heard it said, but I say, teaching us that literally what's in the heart sometimes is just important as what you do with your body or the words that come out of your mouth. And last week we fed the 5,000 with him, which opened a door of involvement for all of us to believe and to understand and sometimes just see in our own lives that God can do imaginably more with nothing than we can with every resource that we have at our availability. So let's go today to Mark the sixth chapter, because we find the disciples in the midst of a storm. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, starting in verse 45. Go over to Bethsaida while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure. And they marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Well, Father, I pray that today our hearts will be soft. I pray that our hearts will be very sensitive to what you have to say to us, the things that you have to glean out of your word. Father, man's opinion is sometimes very important, even influential, but it will never, ever take the supremacy. It will never take the place of your word. So I pray today out of your word, you will speak into our lives of discipleship, of following Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's amazing how the disciples had just immediately left the feeding of the 5,000 when this happened. Jesus sent them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, it helps sometimes to just remember what these things look like. The Sea of Galilee, I want to think of a sea, I think of, sea, huge. You can't see the other side of land, and maybe you couldn't even this case also, but it was about 7 miles wide. Huge lake, if you will, whatever context you want to put it in, that was the Sea of Galilee. He stayed back to pray. He is on the land. The disciples are in the boat. The boat's in the middle of the sea, and the sea is in the middle of a storm. So all of this is raging around them, and Jesus sees them struggling to control the boat due to the storm. I don't know if you've ever tried to control a boat. My biggest problem in a boat in the storm was Debbie being on the backside of it, and we're going down the Illinois River. I have never fought her in the water so bad in all my life. There was no wind involved, but there she was. And I thought, can you just kind of cooperate here just for a minute? But the Bible says the wind was against them, and Jesus sees them struggling. He comes to them in the fourth watch of the night. How many of you know what that is? That is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. What were you doing this morning between 3 and 6 a.m.? I hope that you were sound asleep, but some of you probably weren't. You probably woke up and you were thinking about today and maybe even beyond today to Monday and Tuesday, something at work, something going on in your family, something that was happening there. I'm going to tell you what, those are the times when you lose sleep and you wish you could just go to sleep, but there's something that is just agonizing and irritating at that moment. And you can't do anything about it. You just have to wait until, 8 o'clock comes and you just wipe those eye boogers out of your face and you just keep going, and that's what we do. So he did to them in the fourth watch of the night, and he's walking on the water. Now, they thought he was a ghost, according to the Bible, and it says that they were troubled. So let me see. There's a storm. There's wind. There's waves. They thought he was a ghost. They're rowing against all of this stuff. They're having a hard time. They're probably fatigued at this point. I think I might be troubled too. Wouldn't you? You ever worked so hard at something, but yet you get a little bit done? You ever gone to work all day and you just go, you know, I'm exhausted, and I don't think I've seen a single thing happen here today. I don't know if we've accomplished anything. Some of you have sat through some of my sermons and go, did we do anything? I mean, you know, I know how that goes. I have left this pulpit and go, God, I just need to go back and repent. It's just a mess. You know, you just don't know what to do. But incredibly, it says that he immediately says to them, be of good cheer, it is I, and do not be afraid. Then he joined them in the boat. The wind ceased and the sea calmed. And the Bible says that they were amazed, greatly amazed, beyond measure. Those are just words until you do what I've asked you to do several times in this journey and get off of the written page and get into the boat. Get off of the sidelines and start handing out bread and fish. You know, instead of watching this drama over here, get up there close to see what the woman of the well, you know, the influence on her life. You know, it's hard to do that, but we have to discipline ourselves and step into this discipleship. Because if you have, then we've come from just sitting around to Jesus saying, come and follow me. And we've gone from that to loving everybody. Sit down, learn, and listen. Be a part. And the next thing you know, we go to a storm. Now, I don't know about the emotions of the disciples, but here's the thing. They saw this incredible thing, this incredible feeding. There was this, number one, huge obstacle overcame by Jesus, multiplied all the fish. Next thing you know, they find themselves in a storm. And it's wild how that happens. That's right. They were right into the storm. And you know why they got into the storm? Because they were following the instructions of the master. They were not in the storm because it just happened. It wasn't in the storm just because they kind of got misguided. Now, how many of you have gotten lost? You know, you just go, oh, I wasn't paying attention, didn't watch the sign. How many of you have been on the turnpike and you stopped at McDonald's for a little convenience there, whether it was something to eat or get some gas or whatever? Next thing you know, you find you're going the wrong way. You ever done it? Come on, listen. Anybody willing to admit that? I have, okay? So at least you're stupid as I am, okay? I have no idea what east and west is. Yeah, you just find your things. You find yourself in these situations. You're almost humiliated or whatever. But here's the deal. They weren't misguided. This wasn't because they just got turned around. This is because Jesus said, go to the other side, and he sent them right into the middle of a storm. The Bible says he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Terry Sisney, who is an evangelist, says this, if you plan on doing anything for God, get ready for a storm. People who never do anything don't have to worry about storms. Well, let me just get ahead of the curve and tell you, I don't look for storms. I don't invite storms. I don't try to create storms. I try to avoid storms. I think we all do. I don't want rough seas. I want smooth seas. I want everything to go easy. I want my day to be carefree. I want all the problems solved. But I got to tell you, every now and then, God sends you in the direction of a storm because he has something planned for you in the storm. And if you avoid the storm, then you're going to miss what God has for you. I don't like that any more than you do when it comes to my flesh and when it comes to my comfort level. But when it comes to discipleship, that's a whole different story. See, anybody can serve God when the sun's shining and everything's calm and everything's cool. And you have no problems, but it takes faith, it takes courage, and it takes commitment to weather the storm. And that's where you're going to find those things, is in the storm. And it's tough. You know, I don't know how many of you this morning, I got up, and, you know, every pastor this morning got up and they go, oh, man, it's cloudy. Well, I don't know. Maybe if it's raining, they'll come. You know, we play these games in our mind. Maybe if it's rainy, they won't go to the lake. Maybe they won't go to the ball game. Maybe the soccer games are shut down. Maybe. But if it's sunny, we're going, oh, this is an awesome day. And we measure things like that. And we got to be careful because sometimes the storm is what we need to experience. Matter of fact, what were the disciples experiencing? They were experiencing a storm, a real-life, raging sea, wind-blown storm at the insistence of Jesus. Now, I don't think God would ever put you in a place of danger. But God will put you in the storm. God will never put you in a place to where you're probably going to lose your life. I have that very hard. It's inconsistent with just his nature. But God will put you in circumstances to where difficulty comes so that you'll learn something. And so you'll be a better person when you come out of that so that he can show you something that you would never see unless you went into the storm. It says that he made his disciples to get into the boat. In the King James Version, it says he constrained them. Now, if any of you have ever been parents, you've constrained your child. You didn't restrain. Okay, it's not restrain. You didn't handcuff them. You didn't tie them to the bed, you know. But constrained means, that word literally means by force with a purpose. When you told them, said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you're feeling. This is what you're going to do. You're going to school today. That's all there is to it. You constrain them to go to school. You force them to go to school with a purpose, hopefully to get a higher education, although your purpose might have been to just get them out of the house. I don't know. But it's a constraint. And that's what God did in this instance. He sent them into the storm on purpose. Now, I don't know if you're struggling with that today or not, but I hope that you won't struggle with it in that you think God's got a mean streak or that God is entertained by seeing us struggle. Not at all. But God joys. God gets excited. God celebrates what comes out of you when the storm hits. Because here's the thing. A storm will test your commitment. Some of us will not know how committed we are to something until we've been tested. If you have a marriage in here that has gone right and has gone long term, you've been tested several times. Your commitment to each other, commitment to God, commitment to church, commitment to your work, it's been tested, and it's going to be tested again. A storm will let you know what's the most important thing in your life. It'll define, it'll bring it to the surface. You know, the crazy thing about storms, too, is it kind of brings out the best or the worst in us. You see, God wants to bring out the best in us, but sometimes because of our own ability to kind of make personal decisions in the storm, we can be negative or we can be positive. Well, I know that that sounds like a Joel Osteen comment, but at the same time, we can just decide what we want to be. But that decision has to be linked with God. It can't be that we just have this mentality, this power over things. It has to be connected with the Lord. Because in the midst of the storm, the Bible says that they were troubled. They were very, very concerned. Now, Jesus immediately said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. But I think it's fair to say that they were afraid and that fear was a part of their experience. I'd rather bail them out, you and me, by going, you know, I was a little apprehensive, a little cautious. Tonight's man month night, okay, you know, and everybody's invited. This isn't about just men. It's not about ladies. You find something else to do by any means. But I got to tell you, men, we like to rescue our egos all the time. You know, when we act like something scared us, we go, oh, no, you just caught me off guard, whatever. You know, it just freaked me out. That's why I jumped 3 feet off the, you know, off the floor. You know, no, they were fearful. That's all there is to it. And we shouldn't be afraid of that because all of us have been associated with fear. Anybody ever been in here been afraid to fail? Absolutely. You ever been afraid to realize that you just don't know what's going on, so it causes you to be apprehensive, you pull back. You ever been so afraid that you're worried about what other people think or people say? Now, a lot of us have held back in things. There's things that we haven't experienced because fear has caused that to happen to us. Listen, sometimes Jesus will direct us into the storm, but here's what happens in the storm. Sometimes it will condition us for service. Sometimes it gets us ready for the very thing that God wants to use us for the most. Sometimes it will strengthen our commitment. Instead of pulling us away from something, it will cause us to be attached to something. And it will test our faith. You know, your faith will only be as good as it has been tested. That's all there is to it. It has to be tested. Everybody, would you do me a favor? Say all things. Because in Romans 8, chapter verse 28, this is what it says. We know that all things, including storms that bring immense testing, work for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. This was their experience. They're experiencing a storm for a purpose. But what was Jesus trying to teach them? Let's look at that real quick. He was trying to teach them that he is sovereign. It's a word that we don't use very often. It means simply this: having supreme power or authority. Too often when we go through life, Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and he blesses us, and he makes us feel good, and we talk about him, and we teach him to our children, and we sing about him in our songs, but we forget that he's sovereign. He has all control, all power, and all authority. And as such, we just kind of include him into our life instead of submitting our lives to him and submitting ourselves to this, the supreme power of everything. You know, God is in all control. God has everything under control. Jesus is sovereign. And in this picture, he's walking on the water, and he gets in the boat. The winds stop. This was a real raging sea storm, and Jesus is walking on the water. Now, let's just take that thought just a little bit, extend it a little bit, since he is sovereign. You know what? Since he created that water, I think he has the right to walk on it, don't you? And looking back at the Old Testament, I think since he created water, he has the right to be able to part it if he wants to and to cause dry ground to appear so that the Israelites can escape the Egyptians. And then over later on, he can take the Jordan River and he can dam it up and everything to go dry on so that the children of Israel can go into the promised land. And I don't know what your waters are today, but whatever they are, God can calm them. He can walk on them. He can take care of them. He can separate them. He can create things out of it. You know why? Because he is sovereign. He is the God of this universe. Let's quit equating him with just a good friend. Let's quit equating him with just the Savior that we sing about and embrace him as sovereign. And he can calm the storm. We just read about that. You know what else he can do? He can forgive your sin. He can take the very thing that would separate you from heaven and take you to hell. And he can forgive you of that. He can give sight to the blind. He cures the sick. He cast out the demon. He raises the dead. The Bible says he's conquered death. Do you know anything more powerful than death? Do you know anybody that can conquer death? I can only name one person. His name is Jesus. He rose from the dead. He came off the cross, went into the tomb, and rose from the dead. And sometimes it's just a lame Easter comment to us. It's not. He is sovereign. And as sovereign, he has control. And the cool thing about that is that he will come to you in your storm. Because Jesus doesn't send you into a storm that he's not going to be there to rescue from it or to teach you something from that. But he's not going to let you go under and not going to let you go down. I want you to look at John 14:1 with me. Jesus speaking, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." There again, the same word in the Greek that the disciples experienced out on the lake. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God." Then he takes on just two chapters later in John 16:33. He says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." As your sovereign God, Jesus is wanting you to know today, listen, I have come to give you peace. I know that you're working at the numbers and you just see the finances, you're going, "I don't think this is ever going to happen." And you get depressed and Satan throws everything on top of that and reminds you that you're just an idiot in the first place. Why are you going to that church? Why are you trying to do the right thing? Nobody else does. And then he throws onto that, look around you. Everybody else is doing it. Why don't you do it? Why don't you cut corners? On and on and on, the comments come from the wrong side that we listen to, and we listen to God, and God says, "Listen, I will give you peace." I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I asked you this, how many of you have ever really experienced the peace of God? If you raised your hand, you know what? There's just something that's indescribable. That's why it says earlier on, later on in the New Testament, it says, "And I will give you the peace of God which passes all understanding." If you try to tell somebody who's never been to church, never known Jesus, he doesn't know him as Lord and Savior, how this works, that we have such a peace, they don't understand it. Because they keep going back to the storm, we keep going back to Jesus in the storm. They keep going back to the problems they have, we keep going back to the Jesus in the storm. They keep going back to the things that they see, the things that they feel, the things that have been said about them, the things that are going wrong in their life, we keep going back to Jesus in the storm. And if we'll keep our focus there, we're going to see him time and time and time again. So what problem are you having? What fear are you facing? What struggle is before you? If Jesus and all his power, I mean, just stop and think about it. We just saw the visual image. That's that wonderful clip off of this TV series. And there's Jesus. He's sitting on the wall. If you were to see him to walk right through the door, come and stand beside you and say, "Be not afraid. It is I." Would that not change the way you look at the world? Would that not change everything? It didn't change the titles that you have to face, but it would change everything about your perspective as to whether they will stay permanent or not. Because you know what? The sovereign God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is standing right there with you to confirm that. And when Jesus, who they thought was a ghost, climbed into the boat, the wind ceased. The sea calmed and the noise stopped. And they learned what you and I need to learn. And it's simply this. When Jesus is here, we have all we need. when Jesus is here, we have all we need. Why is that so difficult? Because you feel the wind blowing the waves into your face, and the boat is doing this, and you hear everybody around you going, is that a ghost? The Bible says that they cried out. You feel the wind in your face. So all of the exterior circumstances are screaming, we're in trouble. And Jesus is saying, you know what? Invite me into your boat. Invite me. Let me come aboard. And everything will be as it is. Because either whether we like it or not, we need to understand this. Jesus is revealed in the storm. I've gone to church all my life, and they talk about Jesus, talk about God. I went to a church where they had Jesus up on the cross, but I sat there for years, Sunday in and Sunday out with my mom, and I never heard from this Jesus, and I never felt this Jesus, and I never felt the sense of invitation to go and know this Jesus. I didn't understand what was going on, and I was all around him. There was images of him all over the place. I did things that are in conjunction with my mom's wonderful religion that hooked me into that. My body came inside the house of God, but I never felt him. God forbid that we leave this place today and never feel him, because he's revealed in the storm. It could be, could it be, I mean, wow, Pastor, are you serious about that? Could it be that what you've experienced this week was leading you up to this moment so you could remind yourself to look through the storm and see Jesus coming to you in the midst of that storm? I think that's what he was teaching the disciples. Hey, I'm always going to be here because the storm has brought me to you. And I never took my eyes off of you, by the way. I saw you. So how does this change me today? One really cool thing. It encourages me to trust him. It encourages me to trust him. I can tell you to trust him. Everybody else will say, oh, just trust Jesus from their perspective and probably from your limited view of their life. Everything's probably going great. I'm going to tell you what. The people in this church that trust Jesus the most have probably gone through more than you'll ever know. They have lost it and they've gained it. They have been tried, they have been healthy, and they've been sick. They have hurt, they have been wounded, and they have been healed. I'm telling you, there's not a single person in this church that has any validity in their walk with Christ that hasn't been through hell and back, if you will, at least, and that's the way that it felt. They have lost loved ones. They have lost money. They have lost things. They've had houses burned. They've had cars wrecked. They've had transmissions that go out. They've had electricity that bombed at the wrong time. They've lost their jobs. They've been fired. They've been laid off. You name it. On and on and on it goes. And you know what? In the midst of all that, God raised them up. And that's why they trust him today. Because through all of this stuff, he says, you know what needs to change in all of us? You can trust me. And God is so cool because he tends to make sure that things don't just happen one time. So you go, well, that was a freak of nature. Well, let's go look back at Matthew, the fourth chapter, because this wasn't the first storm that Jesus had calmed. Join me in Matthew, the fourth chapter, verse 35. It says, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along with them in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But get this picture. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Now, that's where we get irritated, isn't it? Great. My boat's about to sink, and Jesus is sleeping. It's not because Jesus is not paying attention. It's because Jesus knows what's going on. He's sovereign. You know what? Your God, nothing shakes your God. The least little bit of word, least little thing said about you may rattle your cage so much that you become infuriated. You get upset. You get agitated. Somebody says something, whether it's gossip, whether it's rumor. It could be the total truth. It just mess up your world. It doesn't mess up Jesus at all. You know why? Because he's sovereign. Listen, storms change us. But the one constant in all of our storms is that Jesus has been the same. It's not just a cute little phrase out of Hebrews 8 where it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, it's the fact that he is always the same. Your storm is different than mine. Yours is more important than mine. You know why? Because it's yours. But mine's more important than yours because it's mine. I mean, when my boat gets rattled, you know, I'll get to your boat when I can. But the one constant in all of this is that Jesus Christ is sovereign and he is the same. It goes on to say, was already feeling, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the seas, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But they said to him, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, check this out, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Ladies and gentlemen, that's sovereign. This isn't just a great speaker. It's not just somebody who has an awful lot of little cliches. This is the creator of heaven and earth who is a part of your life. If you've invited him into your life, he is the conqueror of death. He's also conquered your sin. He went to the cross for you. Let's not forget that. We love to talk about, you know, good, wonderful statements that make us feel better in Christianity. Let's get back to the fact that it's about when we bowed our hearts and bowed our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Please come into my heart, forgive me, I am a sinner." And it opened up all of the avenues to him to step into every storm of your life and calm it the minute he enters your boat. That is the great promise we have today. Listen, God is in the storm. So look past the storm. Forget all of the wind, forget all the wave, get the water off of your face, whatever, and just look past that and you'll see him. He understands the storm, he comes to you in your storm, and he can put your storm to rest if you indeed trust him. If you trust him. And I believe that we want to. You see, sometimes we get right up to that point to where we want to, but then we're reminded of the storm. We didn't read it today, but there's another account in Matthew where Peter said, "Jesus, if that's you, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter stepped out of the boat. You know the story. The Bible says he was walking straight to Jesus, but then the winds and the waves distracted him. Boom, sank. What did he say? "Jesus, save me." Jesus reached down and saved him. And on a personal level, he said, "Why did you have such little faith?" Listen, this isn't about accusing anybody of having little faith. Listen, there's a lot of reasons why our faith sometimes becomes extremely minimized. The immense enormity of the circumstances we face seems to be so huge, at least in our minds, it's so massive that our faith seems to be squished under all of that. But you know what? Let me remind you what the Bible says. All I need is that mustard seed faith. Jesus isn't saying your faith has to match that of somebody 6 foot, 10, 300 pounds. No, he said it just needs to be the faith that I have given you. And in that faith, that's where we trust him. Will you bow your heads with me today? We got our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I just want to ask you this question. If you are not trusting him, if you are not trusting Jesus, then who or what are you trusting? What are you depending on to not only get it through the day, but to get you through life and ultimately to heaven? What are you dependent on? Are you thinking it's a good life? Not going to get you there. Are you thinking to wait this thing out? If God's not in your storm, he's not in your boat, then good luck, you're on your own. You're dependent totally on yourself. But today I would just ask you, are you ready to give up those oars? All of that human effort, all of that human strength, all of the manipulation you can to trust him with your struggles? Listen, you got a storm today, or you're looking for him in the storm, or are you just still focused on the wind? Are you still wanting to go, "God, why me? Why does this always happen to me? Why did this happen to me?" Listen, I can't answer those questions. Some of you today, you've had accidents. Welcome to the crowd. It'll be next month. It'll be my year from when I bailed out of the attic. I still wonder why that happened. You know, if I'm not careful, I'll just go, "Oh, it's just life." Can I just tell you, storms are life. But in the midst of every one of those storms, if you'll look closely, you'll see Jesus. And maybe one of these days, God will let me share what he showed me through that storm. And some of you today, you've lost somebody in the last year, 2 years. Some of you, it's been a long time ago. When we measure it by decades and it still hurts and you wonder why, but God keeps speaking out of that loss, that storm, if you will, and saying, "I'm right here. Let me give you peace. Let me calm your storm." So if you're in the middle of the storm today, that's okay. You know why? Because that's where you'll find Jesus. I'm not saying it's cool and that you are glad you're laid off, because it's not cool. But if that's your storm today, start looking for Jesus. While you're looking for employment, which is just the responsible thing to do, don't find a job at the expense of losing Jesus. And you're not feeling good today. Things haven't been going right. Maybe your car's broke down. Maybe your body's broken down. And you're just wondering where this God is. Well, pick your head up. Look through all of that stuff that's staring you in the face. Even though you're tired from rowing, look and you'll see a wonderful person walking on those waters that are against you. His name is Jesus. He's come. Calm your sea today. He's come to step in the midst of your boat because that's his storm. I don't like it any more than you do because sometimes we can blame it on a person. You see, somebody ran into Sandy Sadaka, and that's why her car was towed. You see, something happened to Dorothy Clay's gallbladder, and that's why they had to do surgery. You see, there's logical explanations for things, but what God says is, listen, I'm sovereign, and in the midst of this storm, let me come to you, give you the peace that I promised you. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. I don't know what your storm is today, but I'm going to invite you to bring that storm to what's called an altar in front of this church, a place you can bow your head, bow your knee if you want to. Up on these steps, I find it often that someone comes all the way to the steps and they just bow. And to come, and at that point, invite Jesus Christ into that storm. And will he not calm your storm? Yes, he will. That's what Jesus does. He calms your storm. If that's you, anywhere around this place, your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, I just want you to stand and make your way to this altar. And I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to let the people of this church pray with you, regardless of what it is. And we start throwing categories out here. You're going to wait until I hit yours. You're going to wait until I start talking about somebody that needs physical healing, or you're going to wait until I talk about financial resources. Well, you know what? I just want to tell you that God is just inviting many of you to come and to just step into this altar. See, you don't have to leave your boat. Jesus will come to you. You don't have to abandon a whole lot of things. All you got to do is just hold on to Jesus. And especially if the very thing that you're facing today is sin. Man, you just found your life wrapped up in things that shouldn't be done. You find your heart disconnected from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is just coming to you and saying, let me come in and forgive you of your sin. Let me come and be your Lord and your Savior today. Let me be your rescuer. Let me give you the peace. Let me trouble all the waters in your life. Let me give you that understanding that only God can give. But you're the one that has to make that decision. You see, Jesus came to him. He came into the boat. There wasn't a single opposing voice there. They were glad to see him, especially because of the results. Today, I invite you to this place. It's called an altar. Stand right where you are. Just make your way. Just bow your heart and begin to just cry out to the Lord. As we sing this song, I pray that you'll just make that move. That you'll let the Lord Jesus Christ come and touch you in that extent. That you won't hold back. That you won't just hope that things will turn out okay. Listen, hope is a great thing, but faith is even better. You know, a good idea and a story about Jesus is one thing, but the reality of him coming into your life is even better. So I pray that you'll do that. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, all across this place, God, as we begin to feel just the urgency of the storm, as we begin to understand, some of us are rehearsing, we're going back, we're reminding of what the storm was just minutes ago. We left it at the front door so that we could come to church thinking we could escape it. All of a sudden, the pastor's telling us to embrace it. Why? Because Jesus is in the storm, because that's where you'll find him. Avoid the storm all you want and you'll miss Jesus. Father, I pray today, use the storm to draw us to you, oh God. Use the next few moments to just heal, touch, bless, and minister to our hearts in the midst of our storm. In Jesus' name.